Inspector General Deborah Witzberg, I think, has one of the toughest jobs that you can possibly possess during your career or work within. And Deborah, thank you for coming back on the show. I see that you decided you wouldn't seek a second term. Is it governor or is it the mayor that would appoint you to that second term?
The mayor makes the decision on reappointment, within the two-term limit.
And, of course, you've brought to light a few things that you thought needed to be investigated in his world as well. And I would imagine maybe that, did that weigh in on your decision? Or are you finally burnt out on this job that nobody, I don't even know how a human can manage it?
I'm not sure it's exactly either of those things. I have not had a conversation with the mayor and didn't speak with him about whether he was planning to reappoint me before I announced that I wouldn't seek a second term. I think, this was a decision that by the time the end of my term comes in April, we will have accomplished a lot. I will have done what I came here to do, and I will be able to pass a more effective, more independent Office of Inspector General on to the next person lucky enough to do the job.
That's wonderful. Let's talk about one of these things that you've really focused on, and that is the PPP fraud. PPP, yes, as you all remember, was created to help business owners struggling in the face of the pandemic, to help keep their businesses afloat. So they gave them loans with qualifying expenses that included paying their workers, their utility bills, and all of that required you to file paperwork. And what the Inspector General uncovered is that a lot of people, even within city government roles or city jobs, filed fraudulent paperwork. Some of these were bus drivers, some were police officers, and there were some high-ranking people as well. Where are you with that case right now, or multiple cases?
Many, many cases. We are somewhere in the middle. So we have wrapped up some of those cases. We have reported some of those out in our quarterly reports, including just in our most recent quarterly report, where we had a high-ranking official at one city department and a police officer whom we found had, in fact, as you say, gotten fraudulent PPP loans. That quarterly report follows several others in which we've reported on these cases. So far, in every case in which we have found that a city employee has committed PPP fraud, we've recommended that they be fired, and the city has so far always agreed. I think, my basic thinking about that is that you don't get to defraud the government and work for the government at the same time.
Absolutely. And then are they placed on a do not hire list so they can't show up in some other form of government?
Generally speaking, yes, although the city's ineligible for rehire policy, which is undergoing some revisions, does not prohibit rehire by sister agencies. So, for example, somebody who is fired from the Chicago Police Department and is ineligible for rehire by the city is not necessarily ineligible for rehire by, for example, the Park District.
Well, I wish they were. I mean, if you're filing fraudulent paperwork and you are under the employ of the city or the state or the government, I think that you shouldn't have a job in that position. And I haven't been able to uncover everyone's names. It feels like some of these names have never really been public. Is that just my thought process, or has every name been made public if they are truly convicted of these crimes?
Well, so if people are, in fact, convicted of a criminal offense associated with these cases, that would likely be public record. But a very small percentage of PPP loan cases, even where there has been fraud, will end in criminal prosecution. And that just really has to do with the volume and the scale of the problem. When we sustain administrative violations, that is, when we pursue employment sanctions against people, their names are not made public. Some amount of data on PPP loans that were given was made public by the federal government, by the Small Business Administration, et cetera. But, of course, not everyone who received a PPP loan by any means did so fraudulently.
Right. But one of the cases that you were looking into, you identified as a high-ranking city official. Some were bus drivers. You mentioned a police officer, an assistant housing commissioner decided they would resign as opposed to being fired or placed on a do-not-hire list. So this was across the board, many different positions within Chicago that people fraudulently filed paperwork. Can you talk to me about those brokers? I saw one of the bus drivers said, well, I met a broker at my bowling league, and they helped me fill out the paperwork.
Yeah. So the bus drivers, those may be specifically in cases investigated by the state, the state of Illinois Executive Inspector General. But we have seen some similar things among city employees as well, where some people filed fraudulent paperwork apparently on their own. Others did so with some assistance from people who acted as kind of a bundler, who facilitated the filing of fraudulent loan paperwork for a bunch of different people, sometimes in exchange for, you know, a percentage of the money.
Will this get done before your term expires?
We will have plenty to do and say between now and April. This particular family of cases is an enormous undertaking, and we're still at it.
And one of the other issues that is taking place right now is that we found out today that the city of Chicago spent more than $270 million in police overtime costs last year. That seems ridiculous to me. I'm not in that business. I don't understand all the workings of government. But if you're going to spend $270 million in overtime, why not just hire more cops?
It's an enormous pile of taxpayer dollars. And I think you have accurately observed that given the scale of that pile of dollars, we ought to be asking questions about whether we have the right staffing levels and whether we're allocating available staffing resources appropriately. So last week, we published a new data dashboard showing this overtime data, and it allows people to see how many hours and how many dollars those hours are costing. CPD members have worked in overtime over various periods of time. You can select your period of time on the dashboard. You can look at overtime related to specific special events like the Democratic National Convention, for example. And the idea here is to provide some transparency into this question. We cannot improve what we cannot measure. And until now, data on overtime and its associated costs has been very, very hard to get at. So with this new data tool, we're hoping to facilitate a kind of better informed discussion about staffing levels and staffing allocation.
Yeah, and among those, I see that for the Mexican Independence Day celebrations, $8.2 million, $5.2 million for protests and marches, Lollapalooza, $2.1 million. Of course, all of those need to be patrolled and staffed by police officers. But the fact that one of the things published said some CPD members were earning as much as $150,000 in overtime last year, that's got to be more than their base pay, correct? Is that a fair assumption?
That could certainly be true. And I think, you know, a police department is in the business of emergency response. There will always be emergencies. There will always be unanticipated staffing needs. But there are also many events, including the ones that you just mentioned, which are largely scheduled. Those are largely anticipated. We know when those are coming. And so I think that there likely are opportunities to plan more thoughtfully around staffing and staffing allocation. It's really hard to do that without good data. And as I say, that's what we're hoping to facilitate with the new tool.
And tell everyone where they can check out that tool and that dashboard again.
People should go to igchicago.org and click on our information portal.
Thank you so much for joining us and always making yourself available.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Chicago Inspector General Deborah Witzberg.